Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hold on one sec. Let me. There. Is that better?
Yeah, I said I can hear you just fine.
All right, good. Well, let's rock and roll. Okay.
All right, awesome. All right, everybody. This is Nerdnomicon. I am your host, the Goth Nerd, and with me, as always, is the most awesome, Chad Harden. How's it going?
Good, man. It's been a hot minute.
Yes, it has. Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, you've had your Zoop campaign that you've had been having to focus on, so I can kind of understand.
Well, okay, so I had 3 Marvel covers. I just picked up a Johnny Quest cover for Dynamite, and then I just picked up 4 Vampirella covers and 4 Red Sonja covers.
Wow, you just got a ton of those in.
And then I got pages that I got to get done to Jimmy. I got commissions that are still out. I mean, I am like,
yeah.
Matter of fact, I got to stay awake all night tonight and finish this Johnny Quest cover. So.
Oh wow! But
good times.
It's a double-edged sword, basically. It's nice to get all the attention, but then that means sleepless nights.
Well, I'm really excited. I just got my first invite to go to Sarasota, Florida to do my very first CGC signing. And I think had it not been for all the Marvel covers, I don't think that would happen.
You can probably visit Jimmy while you're there.
I hope so. Well, I hope to visit Jimmy and Amanda. It's like right by where they live.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about, you know, basically flying into Tampa.
Yeah.
And then, you know, staying someplace close. Maybe we go dinner one night. I don't know. But
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so busy. Like, I don't even know where to look because I feel like my head's spinning like a top.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it's okay. It's a good busy. So
that, exactly. The whole thing is that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, I mean, it's a good thing, but then, you know, I mean, the bad thing is, you know, sleepless nights and all that because you have to catch up on all this stuff.
Yeah.
But speaking of covers and all that, I was actually just reading Amazing Spider-Man and they have an advertisement for one of your covers in there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
For the Weapon X one, or?
No, Edge of the Spider-Verse.
Which one? Number 1, 2, or 3, or 4? Because I did all 4.
Number three was the latest one that they were pitching.
Yeah, you know what's really weird about that cover is they deleted almost all the background except for the spider ship, which I thought was really weird.
That is weird.
Yeah. I was like, because, you know, basically it was just like this outer space webbing.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought it looked cool, but I guess the people that, I don't know, it's weird. And it got, everything got through editorial. All the editors were like, yeah, cool, love it. And it goes to print and there's like, no way. So somebody didn't like the background, but.
Yeah, so somebody in Zero Hour decided that they didn't want to use it.
Well, and the funny thing is it was for Nick, and Nick's basically vice president, so it had to be like CB. It had to be like,
it had to have been upper management because they're the only ones that I would know of who could make a call like that at the last minute.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
But either way, you know, this actually could be a good opportunity for you to kind of do a Hail Mary pitch or whatever. Why don't you tell people about the Zoop campaign again?
Okay, so if you're not aware, we have the Art of Chad Harden Volume 4 crowdfunding right now on zoop.gg/c/ChadHarden4. All one word, all lowercase. And you can go to the campaign right now, and we are so close to funding, like just a razor thin margin. I think we're at like 90%. And
yeah, last we saw, we were at 7257, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, really close to funding.
Yeah.
And there's only, what, like 2 days, 3 days left?
I believe the last day, I believe it ends on Friday.
I do too. So it's really weird. It's a little deceptive because it's like after it goes beyond or below one, then you still have 24 hours. So technically, there are 2 days, but yeah.
We still got all day Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anywho, but yeah.
Anybody who can contribute to that, please contribute to that.
Well, and you know, the other books were such huge successes. And I really think that, because this is the first art book I've done in like 3 years. And at first I was doing like one a year. I was, you know, sort of cranking them out. But what happened is COVID. And during COVID, it's like everything completely shifted.
I remember.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is like the first time things have normalized. But at the same time, it's like, had I kept that momentum going, I don't think we'd be worried about funding right now. But unfortunately, I sort of stalled it out. But
true. But that's pretty much the story for a lot of people. I mean, the funny thing is, it's like, because I told you the story, but I don't know how many others here know this story. But the fact that one of the things is like I was actually starting to at least get some traction with my Darum Captain Stars book.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, because of COVID hitting and everything, a lot of deals went through and a lot of stuff didn't get funded. And so unfortunately, the company that I was working for ended up going under.
Well, and I think everybody during COVID didn't spend a penny. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because everybody was like, what's going to happen with my job? Am I even going to be able to go to work? And then we get out of COVID and we have like runaway inflation and, you know, I mean, things have just been tough.
Yeah, it has.
When money's tight, the first thing that gets shelved in a recession. And I know that all the numbers say that we're not in a recession, but I think what saved us from being in a recession is all of the money that the tech companies and like Nvidia and, you know, all these American companies made off of basically, you know, AI and AI related technology, whether that be like faster processors or
came out of that kind of barely saved us from recession. But the whole thing is that a lot of things ended up getting put on hold for a while. But I did notice at least the last since at least about 2022, so about the last 2 years, things have been somewhat evening out.
Yeah, it feels like we're slowly getting back to normal, but it's been a long recovery. And
exactly. Yeah.
So like we're doing okay. I mean, even it's always a good idea to have
computer
I can still hear you.
Okay, my computer went to sleep. I was like, I better change the power settings up.
Now you sound like you're in the background.
I
can hear you, but you're getting a little muffled.
Is that better?
No, you still sound like you're in the background.
Oh, crap. Hold on. I think it probably switched my driver.
Might have.
Yeah, I think it shut off my driver from my microphone that's like by my face.
Oh, it went to sleep on you.
Yeah. Ugh, I hate that.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can.
Well, no, these, that happens to me every once in a while. It's not like it happens a great deal, but for some odd reason, I'll be doing something and my computer won't recognize that I'm doing something, so it goes into sleep mode anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I should probably be moving my settings around. Let me see if I can find the seat.
That's what I'm saying, is that it's got to be something you can readjust on your microphone, I'd imagine.
System and performance.
Zach,
why don't you keep talking while I see if I can't pull this thing out of the fire here?
Like I said, I mean, I can still hear you. I can still hear you. It just sounded like you went from like being right up front to being on the back row.
Well, I'm surprised it didn't kick me off the podcast 100%. Let's see if I can't switch or turn the driver on for my microphone, because I know that's I know that's what it is. It's basically the microphone of my PC is working, but not the one that's in front of my face. System. Sound
input.
Yeah, here we go. Hold on one sec.
All right.
Is that better?
Oh, yeah. No. That's 100% better.
Woo! Tech support live.
Here we go.
Check my mouse every now and then. Yeah, so I mean, yeah.
And you didn't have to deal with anybody with a thick accent either.
Yeah, things actually haven't been that bad. I mean, the reason why that happened is I basically bought myself a new setup, a new computer. I really needed one. My old one had been dying for months, slowly.
Yeah.
And I was really cool. I got this, but basically I got a gaming PC for like a really nice price at Costco, and it's worked like a dream.
Nice. Oh yeah,
But I just I haven't really like gone through and changed all the settings, like the power setting.
Yeah. What's funny is my mom just bought herself a new computer too.
Yeah, and we bought Joy a new computer, bought a new fridge, so we're doing okay.
Yeah,
but I think the reason why we're doing okay though is just I have so many pokers and so many different fires, so it's like I have Death Watch
going. Well, and especially with all that cover work you're doing now, because I don't know. I mean, if you wanted to, I mean, once again, I mean, I know that you definitely, you're like me. You still want to have your hand in your own creator own works and all that.
Yeah.
But if you wanted, you could probably just make a decent living just doing covers.
Well, I could. But if I just did the covers, then I wouldn't be self-publishing.
No, that's what I said. Yeah. I mean, that's why I said I know that you still want to do your creator-owned stuff, just like I do.
For sure.
What I'm just saying is like, I've heard of plenty of people who live off of just doing covers.
Yeah, and I think if all I had was covers, I think I'd be fine. But I also believe I don't believe anybody should ever put all their eggs in one basket. So.
No,
I'm always self-publishing. I'm always doing interiors. I'm always doing covers. Murphy and I just opened a web store. Yeah. We have hardenedcomics.com is open for business right now. Matter of fact, I got to ship out my orders for my store tomorrow after I get this.
That's true. We should pitch that website for everybody.
It's if you're used to my old website, which was chadhardenart.com, you can still go there and it'll direct you. I bought both domain names. Or you can just go to hardenedcomics.com and it'll basically take you to my web store. So there's a link to MGA where you can buy, if you're interested in buying any of the covers, you can go and buy the covers there. Or you can also order a commission off my website. We've sold a whole bunch of amazing commissions. And then I do get copies of my book late, but I do get copies. And I've decided that I'm going to sell all copies of my books for cover price, regardless of their market value. So if anybody wants a copy of one of my books and they can't get it, you can get it for the same price as you get at a comic book store on opening day. And then,
oh yeah, and for those of you who missed the Kickstarter, he's also selling copies of Death Watch on there too.
Absolutely. And the second I get done with this campaign, I just bought a whole bunch of new software where I can actually, so you know how I do my live stream. I can actually do my live stream, but it'll be connected to my web store. So like I could actually put up commissions during my live stream and people can go to the web store and just buy it now.
So. Oh, speaking of, because this sort of reminded me of the video thing, because I'd gotten a notification from Spotify, who runs this podcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And basically they're going to be going strictly to apparently upload only podcasts like with video. And so by June, I won't be able to use the mobile app anymore.
So what are we going to do? We're going to switch over to like StreamYard.
I was actually wanting to get a hold of you, talk to you about that, see what you want, what the plan was, because I'm willing to learn video. It's just that I need somebody to guide me through it.
Well, listen, Andrew Fay and Matt Russell with Crypto Comics, they've reached out to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, they said, hey, let's get something going. And I don't see why we just don't merge. Why don't we just merge with them?
Ooh, okay. So, and then, hey, if they can somehow incorporate the whole Nerdnomicon name in there, because I love that name. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that we've come up with that name.
Sure.
So if they can incorporate that in some way, that'd be awesome. But either way, no, it sounds like a good plan to me, Shed.
Yeah.
I said, I'm willing to learn video. I just don't know how at the moment. And so I need somebody to guide me through it.
And it's sort of serendipitous. So one of the things I was going to do, now that I got this new PC, I was going to see if I can actually sort of soup up my old PC.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need something that's strong enough to actually edit video, that PC could definitely do that. So, yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. So, yeah, let's... that sort of sucks that they're making that move. I still think we'd be okay. You know,
they're not getting rid of podcasts. Yeah. What they're doing is, I guess, it's going to be like a strictly upload only video kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess they're getting rid of all the. I guess they're getting rid of all the mobile stuff.
Huh.
Hmm. Yeah, I know. I thought it was kind of stupid too, but I mean, But either way, so I just kind of figured, just as you said, it's kind of serendipitous because now it forces me to have to learn how to do video podcasts. So, you know, if somebody can walk me through that, I am more than willing to switch over to that.
Huh. Well, there's got to be, you know what? Are you still friends with Maury? You and Maury hang out at all? Maury used to be pretty.
I still hear from Maury every now and again. Not as much as I'd like to, but I mean, you know, I still see him every now and again.
I wonder if he'd be interested. Anyway, we'll think of something, bud. We'll think of something.
Oh, I know. And then, hey, worst case scenario, you would name something before anyway. You and I could always switch over and do it on StreamYard.
Yeah, okay, so Renee DeLiz and
Ray
Dillon, yeah, I know. That's what they use, and I'm really impressed. Yeah, and that's also what Andrew and Matt
use. I've seen your show.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I don't know if it has mobile capabilities, but if you had a PC that was strong enough, then it shouldn't be an issue.
No, I've got my laptop. My laptop can do video. So it's like I said, I mean, as long as like somebody can show me how to do the video, I can do that off my laptop.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, yeah, like I said, we'll figure something out.
Yeah. Either way, I just thought I'd give you a heads up. Right now, I still got it. So we can still do podcasts up until June.
Okay.
And it's basically going to be like the middle of June when they get rid of the mobile app.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they'll launch something in the meantime, too. You know what I mean?
You know, it just feels unfair to the people who do, who do podcasts like in this manner, because it's like not everybody has a whole lot of sophisticated technology, and sometimes it's easier for them to do things like this off of their phone.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I hope, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe I can get my old desktop working, and I mean, you know, it's old. It's an older PC, but it still has like 64 gigs of RAM and a 4 gigabyte
card. As I said, my laptop has video capabilities. So, I mean, the whole thing is that as long as somebody can show me how to do it, I mean, if it's, you know, if they make it simple, like Zoom, like Zoom, I mean, if they make it simple, like Zoom, I mean, that won't be too hard for me to figure out.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Cause no, I said, I'm more than willing to do it. It's just that that's what I keep telling people. It's just like, it's not that, I'm an old putty duddy and then I'm not willing to learn new technology. It's just that I don't know how. You have to guide me through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but either way, no, this gives us time. And actually, you know what, just as you said, I like the word you use, cause it is serendipitous. The fact of the matter is, it forces us to have to innovate anyway. And I was already thinking of upgrading the video.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it would hurt us.
No. I mean, just
the cool thing about video is like we could actually show what we're talking about too. I mean, like.
Well, that's true. We can actually, you know, like if we're talking about comics and we want to show people like specific issues of stuff, we can show them.
Yeah.
But, you know, just as long as people are okay with looking at my scary face.
I know, right? It's like they see our face and run. Ah!
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, as long as you're okay with looking at two out-of-shape middle-aged men, you know.
You speak for yourself, cool. Man. I work out every day.
I do too, but it still doesn't keep me from at least having a little bit of a gut.
You know, the problem is it like you can be good for like an entire month. You can be good for like 21 days and you'll lose like, you know, I don't know. You'll lose like maybe, you know, 3 to 6 pounds in those 21 days. I can gain 10 pounds in a week.
Yeah. And then you blow it all on McDonald's.
Exactly.
No, I know exactly what you mean. The fact of the matter is it's not as easy to keep the weight off than when I was younger. It's like when I was in my 20s and 30s, man, I could burn up everything, you know. It was like no matter what I ate, I never got big, you know.
Yeah.
But then it's like middle age, then there's like middle age, it's like nope, not happening. Now it's like now everything you eat, you pay a major price for.
Yeah. For sure. When was the last time we did a podcast? Had I seen Dune 2 the last time we did a podcast? Have you seen Dune 2?
I don't think you'd seen Dune 2 since then. I think we had talked about that it was coming, but I don't know if you talked about it having actually seen it.
Have you seen it?
That is on my list of things. Unfortunately, it's had to be on the back burner because of reasons. But it's something that I definitely plan on getting to.
Jared, I don't ever say this because you know how I feel about going to theaters.
Yeah.
Like, especially in Utah, it's the fucking worst. Oh, yeah. It's the worst.
I completely agree with you, Jared.
You know, in California, like, as much as people hate that state, in California,
they have a reverence for the movies there. People
know how to act in a movie theater. And
that's what I'm saying. In California, they have a reverence for the movies there.
Yeah. Like, even in the bad neighborhoods, like, you can go to the movies and no one brings their 2-year-old. No one's kicking the back of your chair. I mean,
nobody's sitting there doing stuff on their cell phone while the movie's going.
I mean, think about when we went to see Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
It was only the fact that that movie was such a great movie, but like my actual theater experience was miserable. You know, we had that whole family right behind us talking, being obnoxious, always getting, you know, always bumping.
And there was somebody, and I swear there was somebody who, like, every 10 minutes or so was kicking the back of my seat.
Yeah, and, you know, and it just, but Dune, you really need to see Dune in the theater.
Yes.
And we said, see it on IMAX if you possibly can, because it is, I'm just going to say this, visually, it's the best movie I've ever seen.
Do we have an IMAX theater in St. George?
I have no idea. That's a great question. But like, if if they don't, you might want to make a trip to Vegas. I mean, you guys have to, dude. Like, what?
I know. That area's got to be. You
got to have.
I seriously don't know because I've never looked into it.
I'd be shocked. I mean, you guys are like the second biggest city in Utah.
But no, I'm pretty sure we've got one somewhere. I'll just have to do a search. I don't know if I want to do Google searches anymore because Google as a search engine has really kind of gone downhill.
You know what, man? Since I bought this new PC, I've just been using Microsoft Edge.
Yeah.
And I actually sort of like it better.
Interesting.
Yep. I like it a lot
better. But you know what's funny? I keep telling people all the same thing. It's like, because everybody asks what Microsoft Edge is. And it's like, it's basically like Internet Explorer, but they just gave it a flashy name.
Yeah. And you know what, though? Microsoft is really. Microsoft sort of plays the long game. They really do.
In some ways, it kind of pays off, though, because they get to see all the mistakes that other companies make, and then they're like, okay, now we can do this, and now we know it won't be so bad.
Well, I think that Google sort of sat on their laurels for a really long time. I mean, it used to be like Google was inventing a new thing, like, every day. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I remember. No, Google used to be on the edge of everything. Yeah. It's like Google used to be like number one. They used to be the number one search engine, Chad.
Right. Well, I don't think they are anymore. I think Microsoft.
No, I really think they've lost it.
Even Apple, the Vision Pro. Mm-hmm. You know, I have not tried the Vision Pro. I have not tried any VR headset, like, to my knowledge. Like, I've been to, like, those VR arcades, but I don't even know what's in, though. I don't know if that's, like, an Oculus or a PlayStation 4 or whatever. I don't know what they're using. But from what I understand, the Vision Pro is, like, $3,500.
Yeah,
its battery life is less. It's like 90 minutes, so you can't even watch like 2/3 of the movies on the market on a single charge. It's not even long enough to get you through one flight.
And that's just stupid, you know. It's just like, seriously, you'd think that the priority would be on longer battery life.
Yeah, and everybody that's looked into it says that basically it's just super over engineered.
Yeah,
and
basically they put too much emphasis on all the flashy bits and not enough emphasis on what matters. And like I said, is one of the biggest thing that matters is battery life.
Well, and they did the same thing with the AirPods Pro. Those were like $300, and then like their next AirPods Pro that came out, it's actually like $125. They're better. And they just sort of, you know, they just dialed it back a little bit. And anyway, Apple seems to be having a lot of problems. And Microsoft seems to be the only tech company right now. They're starting to dominate everything again, just like they did in the 80s. What? So.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is they're forcing other companies to step it up.
Well, and look at what's happening with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox. I mean, Microsoft basically went around and bought every major game developer on the planet, every game publisher. Yeah. And so now Sony, it's like Sony has their own, you know, in-house, you know, development program.
Yeah.
And then they have a few companies that, you know, basically will probably always, you know, develop for them. But in a couple of generations, like if you hope to play, you know, Activision, so Call of Duty is probably going to be an Xbox exclusive. And who knows how many more. Because they're going around and they're buying all the publishers.
I do know this, because you are right. Like, Microsoft's going for a lot of big time developers, but what Sony still has and what makes Sony still the number one in the gaming division is the fact that Sony still has the sort of the they've kind of cornered the market on third party developers. Because Sony still got the most third-party developers for their system.
Yeah, but like I said, like, you know, a lot of the big ones, though. Like, a lot of the big, like, the big, you know. Because, you know, I did video game development for a long time.
Yeah, I remember.
And, you know, Activision was a huge, you know, independent publisher. E3.
No, I remember.
I'm sorry, not E3. E3 was a convention. I'm sorry. Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
These were, you know, these are publishers that publish, like, just those two at, you know, at one point in time, published like a third of the games on the planet. Well, both of those now are Microsoft exclusives.
Okay. I guess the better way to put it is that basically what it is that, Microsoft has got sort of has bought up a bunch of the big sort of the big first party American companies.
Mm-hmm.
But Sony still has cornered the market on the Japanese video game market.
Well, except for Nintendo. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, no, Nintendo is solidly number two. But Nintendo has kind of accepted solidly number two since the early 2000s because Sony has actually dominated the video game market since it came out with the PlayStation and crushed Nintendo sales.
Yeah. Well, crushed everybody's sales.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny though. Nintendo made way more money.
I think it's because Nintendo, even though Nintendo, as I said, is like solidly number two. I think what a lot of people still like about Nintendo is Nintendo's got a lot of the legacy brands.
Well, it's not even that. So Nintendo held on to their own proprietary cartridges. And even now, like for, you know, the Switch and things like that, they still sell their cartridges. Okay.
Oh yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Because if you actually sign up for their online service, you actually get exclusive access to the old school like Nintendo and Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64 library.
Right. But what people don't understand is when you're a developer, if you're a developer for Nintendo, you have to purchase those cartridges. So even if a game flops.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo still makes money because they had to buy the cartridges to make the game for Nintendo. So like even though like the N64 only sold like a fourth of the units that Sony did, money wise they just destroyed. I mean because a CD costs like 2 cents. And it's it's not proprietary technology. So anything that has
Nintendo did kind of in the later years of the N64, Nintendo did kind of bounce back with some of its titles. Because I do know that Super Mario 64 did very well.
Well, then the Ocarina of Time, or however you say that.
But yeah, Ocarina of Time for Legend of Zelda. That was actually a huge seller for Nintendo.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, it's like Nintendo may have not been able to make back their investment initially, but eventually they made it back because I after about a year or so, they started coming out with some pretty classic titles.
Yeah, and unless those cartridges had a battery in it, they're going to last forever.
So
last,
and that is true. And that's another thing a lot of people. That's what a lot of people are looking at in hindsight. Yeah. This is actually why the video, the retro video game market has kind of become overblown.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are saying, "Oh my gosh, cartridges last. Cartridges don't, you know, aren't taken away yet." Because like the problem is especially when you got digital exclusives. If the company goes under, that digital exclusive goes with it.
Well, not even if the company goes over. Sony just announced the other day that they were, you know, they were just taking some games off their store. And so, like, if you purchase that game, it doesn't matter if you purchase that game. If it's not in the Sony library, you're not going to be able to download it and have access to it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's basically the only way you have access to it is if you bought it and downloaded it beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're somebody who's, say, just found out about it and just barely getting into retro gaming, and I know a lot of kids, much younger, in like their preteens and teens, who are discovering retro gaming and enjoying it. What happens to those kids who just maybe all of a sudden they find out that, and I'm just going to throw out a random title or something, but let's say they find out that Contra, about the Contra video game series. Now, I know that they technically have a collection for that, but this is just for the sake of argument.
Right.
And then let's say Konami decides, oh no, we're taking Contra down, and you can't download it anymore. Well, then that kid can't download Contra anymore.
Yeah.
And then the thing is that they'll have to risk emulation, and a lot of emulation sites get shut down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. How did we get on this topic?
I don't know, but the thing is, just like, you know, hey, I still think it counts. It's a nerdy topic. Oh, We're talking video games.
For sure it does. And you know what? I love video games. I just don't have the chance to play them anymore.
I play retro games these days mainly. Well, think about it. A lot of retro games are very much pick up and play.
Yeah.
And it has to be like that for me. I can't get invested in a long, long game anymore. It's like, don't get me wrong, I have nothing against newer games at all. I'd love to play them. But the problem is they take too long because you have to invest a lot of time in it.
Well, time and money. I mean, it used to be. How much was a video game when you were growing up? Like 50 bucks?
In and around, depending on the popularity of it and whatnot. But yeah, I think they would range between 40 bucks to 60 bucks.
Yeah, and now they're what, 150?
God, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I mean. And then many times, and especially when you got these, like, these exclusive big packs with all these different things in them, that's actually why, for the most part, like I'll buy a bunch of digital stuff because buying digital is a lot cheaper. But what's that?
Is it cheaper?
It depends on what you're going for, I guess. And once again, let me put it this way. Retro games digitally are actually a steal. You can get retro games digitally for practically nothing. Huh. Now, it's the newer games where you're probably going to have to pay about as much as a physical copy.
You know, I should grab all my video game stuff. I have so much video game crap that's just sitting in rotting in my house.
Yeah.
That's never going to be played again. I should just take it all down.
And that's what I'm saying is that with retro games, and this is why I've been going and getting a bunch of retro games lately. With retro games, they're very much pick up and play, as I said. I can sit down and maybe say, just recently, I got the Ninja Turtle Cowabunga collection for my Nintendo Switch.
Uh-huh.
And it's got like all the retro Ninja Turtles games from like the late 80s and early 90s.
Super cool.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. And it's great, but it's very much pick and play, as I said. I can get through one of those games with maybe the exception of Tournament Fighters, because it's a kind of a different beast, that one. But like most of the Turtles arcade games on there, I can buzz through those in about 20 to 30 minutes.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
From start to finish, you can do that?
Yeah, they don't take that long to beat. Man. That's the whole thing. Yeah.
Are you doing that thing where it's like, you know, what people are doing with like Mario Brothers, where they're actually like trying to figure out how to beat it as fast as they can?
I'm not speedrunning. No. Okay. No, I'm not speedrunning.
Because I just remember like
me doing it regular.
I just remember like that old Ninja Trooper. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, it's good.
I just got, man, I just had a gas attack. I'm sorry. I just burped right in the middle of everybody. My apologies.
Anyway, what were you saying?
It took me like, it felt like it took me like months to beat the Super Nintendo Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game. But maybe it took me months to beat it with each turtle. Like, I know, like, I played that game so many freaking times, dude. Like,
well, and then, you know, of course, you're always going to want to beat it with your favorite turtle.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah. And for some reason, like, I think it was, like, hardest to beat with, like, Leonardo. I don't know.
Like I said, I think it might depend on the game. Let's put it this way. Like, the arcade games, because of the nature of them, just because they're beat-em-ups, it doesn't take that long to get through them. Because they're beat-em-ups.
Yeah.
The ones that took me longer was like the original Ninja Turtles for NES, the first one.
Yeah.
That one took me a while, but that's because that one's much more of a platformer.
Yeah.
And it's a hard as hell platformer.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And then there was the Tournament Fighter ones, but that one, the time varies just because of it's another one of those like Street Fighter my clones.
Computer went to sleep again.
Yeah. Oh, geez. All
right, hold on.
No, you're good.
At least I know how to fix it now.
Well, no, your voice is just still perfect.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you don't have to fix anything.
Right,
yeah, but anyway, like I said, and then I know with the Tournament Fighter ones, I mean, since it was another one of those ones that was kind of capitalizing on the Street Fighter craze, that one, the time it takes you to beat that just depends on. In this case, I think skill, you know?
Yeah. I was never really that good at the fighting games, at like the Mortal Kombat and the...
Neither was I. I mean, it didn't keep me from trying, but yes, I mean, whenever my buddies and I would go and play those games, I'd always be the one who would lose.
Well, there just always seemed like, okay, the Street Fighter game was in a pizzeria, like two blocks away from my home.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me like every time I went in there, there was like a 12-year-old that would just stomp the shit out of me in like
flat. There was always one person who seemed to know every single move. Yeah. And you're wondering, how in the hell does this kid know that?
No, I'm like, how many quarters did this kid put in to like master this game? And where did they get the money?
Yeah, exactly.
Like maybe it was like his parents' restaurant. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. The thing is, I remember like I would take like $5 and try to get a ton of quarters and try to beat those games with the amount of quarters I got. I would never be able to do it because I would spend all the money.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No. Boy. Yeah. I think we just dated ourselves where it's like, yeah, we had to like go find the arcade machine.
Yeah, well, it's okay. You know, I don't care. You know, it's like anything that's got those old school bits to it, that's just comfort food to me.
Yeah, I still love those. You know, I still good times. I you know what? And
yeah.
I think a lot of these games today are just insane.
They are
with almost like how addicting they are. Like,
yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy playing video games. They're fully immersive. No, it's like these videos,
they're like fully immersive experiences these days.
Yeah, it's and I think it's a little crazy. just a little bit.
Oh, it is. I mean, the fact of the matter is it's too much for my old man brain to comprehend.
Well, I just don't have I just don't have the time. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think if I had like, you know, $10 million in a bank account and I was just making like, you know, $500,000 a year in interest.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I might do nothing but like play video games and paint Warhammer miniatures. You know, like,
that's true. I mean, that would totally be ideal.
Well, especially when, you know, I'm doing, you know, when you basically run your own business,
mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen.
Oh, of course not. And then plus at the same time, it's just, you kind of have to prioritize what it is that you like the most.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I love video games, dude, but video games is not my number one priority. I love them. You know, once again, do not get me wrong. But the fact of the matter is I love writing stories.
Yeah.
And that's why I've decided to be a writer, because being a writer is, you know, a number one priority for me.
Do you ever wonder if like you're going to be like the last generation of like people that like wrote stuff without AI?
I don't know, but I think it's just going to be a different variety. I kind of like what you and I had discussed before. I think it was a few weeks ago, but you and I discussed this before, and I think what it's going to be is that I don't think traditional stuff's ever going to completely die or disappear or go away. It's like, look at records, man. Records have kind of made a comeback. Yeah. You actually have records in music stores.
Right. You have the vinyl.
Yeah, you have vinyl. So I just think that what it's going to be is it's just going to be another medium, and a lot of people will use it. But I think there will be a lot of traditionalists, too, who will just kind of stick it out and keep on doing that. And I don't think it'll be a market that'll ever completely die. I just think it'll become more of a niche market.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, son of a biscuit.
Yeah. What's up?
Sorry. I'm went to sleep again. I should almost just keep my hand on the mouse and just keep scribbling it back and forth.
Do you have something that'll take off the sleep mode at least?
Yeah. While you're, well, the problem is it's like power consumption. And
oh
yeah.
Okay. What I do, especially if I have to deal with something like that, what I do is what's the minimum standard time before it goes into sleep mode?
I just changed it to best performance. Let's see. And Microsoft 11 has.
Well, I'm just saying is what I tend to do is just every few minutes, I'll just wiggle my mouse around.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I need to do, but I forget.
Yeah. But anyway, what I was saying is like, as far as markets go, Chad, I don't think you're ever going to have a market that's going to completely 100% die. I just think that everything's going to change. And what will happen is traditionalists, even like ourselves, I don't think we'll completely die. I think it'll just be more like we'll become a niche market.
Well, I still think there's going to be an influence, though, because like,
yeah,
they're building so much AI stuff into like Microsoft Word. And
yeah. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, in my opinion, I think there'll be a bunch of people who will use that. Yes. But then I think there will be people who will still do it traditionally. Hmm. And I don't think that will ever 100% die.
The Hunter S. Thompsons of the world, where they just lock themselves in a room with a typewriter and go at it.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I mean, why not?
I hope so.
Come on, Chad, there's still people, and a lot of people don't believe it, but it's true. Still people out there who are still writing stories with quill pens.
Well, I think my friend basically uses the same PC that he wrote like all of his stories on from high school. Like,
yeah,
that computer, and that computer alone is his writing computer. I don't even think he gets internet on that computer.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's like so the whole point is, I mean, you got a lot of people that, you know, let me put it this way. If you're talented and you're good, you're going to stay relevant regardless of whether or not technology surpasses you or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look at freaking before he died. I mean, he was a pretty cantankerous old man, but look at like freaking Harlan Ellison, man. I mean, that dude was still cranking out books till the day he died, and he was doing it on his old typewriter. I don't even think the dude ever upgraded to a computer.
Well, I think George R.R. Martin needs to like take a page out of that guy's book and finish something.
Yeah, that's true. At least you can give Harlan Ellison that. The man may have been a cranky, cantankerous old man, but dude, he got his stories done.
Yeah, have you seen Lucky Logan?
I've heard of it. What is it?
It's a really fun. Do you like heist movies? Like Ocean's 11, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Yeah, they're fun.
Okay, so there's this movie, and it's basically, it's basically Ocean's 11. It's even directed by Steven Soderbergh, who is the director of Ocean's 11.
Okay, so it's another one of his movies.
It's a heist movie, but it's really clever and really well done. And I laughed my ass off through the entire. Actually, I like it way better than Ocean's 11, and I like Ocean's 11 a lot. Mm. But
yeah.
God, where was I going with this? There's a line in the movie.
Mm.
And but I was gonna use the line out of the movie to make a comparison. Now I forgot.
Are you good?
Oh God.
Jesus H. Well, Christ. Prior to that, we were talking about Harlan Ellison and how you said that George R. R. Martin needs to take a page out of his book because of the fact that we're both agreed that Harlan Ellison is a cantankerous old man, but he got his stuff
done. A riot in the prison. And the prisoners, part of the riot, one of their demands is that they get the new books in the library, the new Game of Thrones books in the library. and the prison warden's like, I know that it was solicited for release 2 years ago, but it still hasn't gone to market. I was laughing so hard at that.
That is like, so it true.
My funny bone, because like,
yeah,
I am not a fan of fantasy.
But you did like Game of Thrones.
I loved Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
Well, actually, I think we kind of did establish this, is that what you're not a fan of is high fantasy, because you definitely seem to still be a good fan of sword and sorcery.
Man, I don't know. Like, I don't know. So,
you like Conan, right?
Technically, yes.
Conan is sword and sorcery,
okay,
dude.
Okay,
all right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, is that what it is high fantasy. It's like the dwarves and elves and the whole Tolkien-esque high fantasy.
You know what else I found funny, and I have no idea if this is true or not, but I read it on the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? We got a 50-50 chance of it being true.
Yeah. If you write it on the internet,
I heard that Frank Herbert and Tolkien absolutely hated each other, and they hated each other's
book. You know, I heard the same rumor.
And I love Dune. Like, Dune is my top book.
Like, yeah.
I loved it. And actually,
That's what I'm saying. He's like, isn't that kind of funny that, like, because if that's true, isn't that kind of funny that even the authors themselves didn't like each other?
Yeah. And if people like both, awesome. But I just think it's funny.
I actually liked both, because I mean maybe I'm one of the exceptions, because the funny thing is I'm starting to find out that a lot of people are like you. They either like one or the other.
Yeah.
And I thought everybody would be like me and like both, because, I mean, it just kind of made sense to me, because to explain it, my dad was like a huge fan of those of like big epics, whether it be sci-fi or fantasy. Mm-hmm. And he used to read to my brother and I. He used to read us stuff like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, and even used to read like all the Dune books to us. Mm-hmm. So it was my dad that got me the love of both series. And I was thinking, oh, hey, everybody's got to love this stuff. But then come to find, I'm the minority.
Yeah. Well, I know that like there's a big division between like Star Wars and Star Trek and Mac and PC, and I've always been one of those people that are just like, you can like both, but when it comes to like Dune and Lord of the Rings,
it's like you can like one or the other, or you can like both. But the whole point is don't be a douchebag about it. You know,
yeah, don't ruin it for other people.
Yeah, it's just like if I'm enjoying something and you don't happen to enjoy it, don't ruin it for me.
Yeah.
Just as I would have the same respect, I would have the same respect for anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to make fun of somebody because they happen to like something that I don't like.
Yeah.
You know, this is why we have our own personal tastes.
Yeah. And we don't all need to be the same.
No, I mean, the fact of the matter is this is the reason why we have such a great variety.
I do think that's like another quality that is dying, though. I think, there's something with the internet where there's like a compulsion to fit in.
There's like a uniformity to it all.
Yeah, and the Japanese have an expression where it's like the nail that sticks out is the nail that gets hammered down.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is I still think there's always going to be a need for people to stick out, to be different, to do things like that, because the problem is that if everything's the same, it becomes stagnant.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's no competition, yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing is, and here's the thing, and I think, and once again, I actually make the case for bad movies, bad video games, and bad storytelling, because here's the whole thing: if you don't have the bad ones, how you gonna appreciate the good ones? How do you even know if they're good if you don't have a bad to contrast them with?
Well, and yeah, it's so relative too. Like, yeah, but how much? I think a lot of it has to do like what you grew up on.
And that's true. I mean, everything we grew up on is gonna shape what we think is good and what we think is bad. There's plenty of stuff that I like that a lot of people can't stand, but because I grew up with it, I ended up loving it.
Have you been watching Shogun?
I have not yet, but I've been hearing good stuff about that.
Oh, so good. It, if you haven't read the books, still read the books.
That's actually on my list, but what I have seen, I've seen the original Shogun from 1980.
Oh, Yeah.
The one with Toshirô Mifune in it?
Yes. This one is, you know what's funny? So one of the things that bugs me about the new version is they're terrified to make anything funny in this at all.
And that's true. So one thing I liked about the original was they weren't afraid to crack a joke.
Let me tell you something. When the doctor offers him a duck and he goes apoplectic, I'm reading that. I have side stitches. I'm laughing so hard. It's like the funniest freaking thing I've ever read. And they're afraid to put that in there.
No, what's funny is because they're all afraid that they're going to offend somebody. But here's the funny thing about the Japanese, and I actually know this too, is that the funny thing is that they actually tend to think that's funny, and they'll actually laugh with you.
Well,
the
ones who get offended, everybody thinks it's funny.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The only people who get offended are, sadly, hilariously enough, white people getting offended on somebody's behalf.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because they actually had a similar problem when they did that live-action version of Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
What's funny is the Japanese loved it. Japanese actually thought it was great. Yeah. It was actually Americans that hated it.
See, but, okay. Have you seen the anime, though?
Oh, I have. No, dude, come on. You're talking really original anime watchers. I own both movies. Not a lot of people knew there was a second one.
I do, too. I do, but all I'm saying is, like, to me, the anime is so much better. It's like it's not even a contest.
No, don't even get me wrong. I mean, the whole thing is, no, if we were to compare live action to anime, that would be a whole different argument. But no, I mean, I'm totally on your side on that one. Totally on your side. What I'm just saying, though, is that I get, you know, it's not as bad as people make it out to be. And what I'm saying is that the, you know, like people were being, here's the big argument was a lot of people were saying, oh my gosh, it's offensive to Japanese people. And how dare you change the ethnicity of the main character and blah, blah, blah.
See, I didn't care about any of that. I think Scarlett Johansson, I want to see Scarlett Johansson as many things as I can see.
I thought it was good. And the whole point is it's supposed to be an Americanized version of that. It's not, a lot of people don't seem to get that point. And then the whole thing is the Japanese got it. Because when it premiered in Japan, they asked a lot of the Japanese citizens about it, and they actually said it was. They said, "Hey, I really liked it." And then when I asked a person about it, it's like, "What, you're not offended by it?" It's like, "Why would we be offended by it? We like Scarlett Johansson."
No.
And then the only people who were getting up in arms and pissed off about it were, as I said, white people getting offended on behalf of someone else.
Yeah.
I'm talking more on that scale. As to whether the movie was good or not, let me put it this way: it's actually a decent cyberpunk film, but it's got nothing on the classic anime.
See, that's exactly what I felt. I felt like I went and I saw, you know, I saw the movie, but in my opinion, there was nothing in that movie that wasn't done better in the anime. Nothing.
Oh yeah, and once again, if we're going to compare, no, the thing is, the anime films are always going to be better than their live action counterparts. You know, that's just, you know, that's just an inevitability. but the thing is that I didn't think it was the flop that people made it out to be.
Well, here's my other beef with it. It should have been rated R. I mean, the comics are hard.
I think that was another thing that held it back. I actually totally agree with you on that. I think the fact of the matter is, there are certain movies that should just always be a hard R. It's just like, it's like when they tried to, and I remember they did this with Conan the Barbarian, and they did this with the RoboCop film series. Like Conan the Barbarian with Arnold Schwarzenegger, like I think most people, especially those of us who grew up on it, consider that a classic.
I agree wholeheartedly.
But how many people remember Conan the Destroyer?
Completely inferior product in every way.
And they basically tried to make it kid friendly. They took a hard R movie.
Yeah.
And then they decided to make the sequel PG.
Yeah.
And that just does not work. And they did a similar thing with the RoboCop series. The first two RoboCop movies are hard R's, you know, because RoboCop lives in a hard R world. But RoboCop 3, they decided, hey, we're going to make a PG-13 and appeal to the kiddies, you know.
You know, it's crazy, though. I remember going to see the first RoboCop, and there were parents that brought their 4-year-old kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're a bad parent. You are a bad, like, I don't judge people. I still judge those parents. Cause that is, dude, RoboCop, 4 years old.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. That,
well, and you know what? A lot of the companies weren't actually helping by the fact that they tried to make RoboCop toys, you know, and RoboCop, you know, like stuff to appeal to the kids, you know. Because it's like seriously, it's like why in the hell are you coming out with RoboCop action figures? Because I'm pretty sure you didn't make those for the adults.
I don't know. I bought them, but I was old enough.
No. But my point is, we were kids when they came out. We grew up into adults that like that kind of stuff. But my point is, come on, were our parents going to be buying RoboCop toys?
No.
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. No, that was a marketing push for kids. You know that.
Well, but Jared, like, for reals, yeah. Like, if your mom found out that you snuck out and saw RoboCop, because that's what I had to do.
Oh, no, my mom would have reamed my ass if she'd have found that out. The fact of the matter is that no, my parents were a lot like your parents. I don't know if they were quite as religiously fanatical, but
I hope not.
But definitely there were very much parents of that age. Yeah. And the fact that no, if they would have found out that I was doing stuff like that, like, dude, first off, I would my dad would have given me a swift kick in the ass. And then I would have been like grounded for life.
Well, I got grounded for like a month because I repeated an Eddie Murphy joke.
Yeah, exactly. No, the fact of the matter is, if I would repeat a lot of that stuff, my mom would have washed my mouth out with soap.
Yeah.
It's like, you remember that too? It's like when they'd stick the bar of soap in your mouth. Oh
God, yes, yeah. That's the funniest part about that Christmas story.
Yeah. Well, no, I watched that and it was like, oh my God, kid, I feel your pain.
No, my parents in the 80s and 90s had no problem like beating the shit out of their kids.
Yeah.
No problem like shoving toxins in their face.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, and it's basically like, it's like, what, that hurts? Walk it off.
But you know what? And it's funny. Like, you know, they've done all these mental health studies where it's like, oh, this is really bad for the child.
Yeah.
But what about society?
Yeah. And that, no, I completely agree. I mean, the fact of the matter is that that's kind of a, you know, I think that's a good thing, at least about nowadays, that people are at least starting to reevaluate, is that what it comes down to is that now people are starting to look at at what's the impact, what's going to be the impact on this person, should I do this thing, or what's the impact on society?
Yeah.
You know, whereas we didn't look at that kind of stuff when we were, our parents never really looked at that kind of stuff when we were kids. You know, it was basically just like, my kid is bad. How do I punish them?
Well, not only that, but like, just the way you had to act in public.
Yeah.
Like, I am not kidding you. Like, sometimes it's hard for me to go out in public because my instinct, like, if there's a kid just acting the fool, my instinct is to slap the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you, Chad. I'm with you, Chad. I was like, you remember what we call brain dusters?
The thump?
Well, yeah, when they smack you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brain dusters, that's what we call them.
Yeah. I called it the thump.
Yeah, either one works, but you get it.
Yeah.
And the whole point is no, you're right. The fact of the matter is when I see kids being stupid and obnoxious and just like needing like discipline, it's like, yeah, my first instinct, I don't act on it, obviously, but my first instinct is to slap them in the back of the head.
Yeah. it's a hard instinct, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, and but either way, I'm gonna actually have to leave pretty soon because I got to take the dogs out here in a few minutes. So I think we should take this opportunity for last minute again for you to pitch Art of Chad Hardin, Volume 4.
Well, if you're gonna read, how about that's my book because I've read nothing.
That's true. We have to do our recommendations too.
Yeah. So,
hey,
so
that can, for my book, hey, you know what?
Let me.
No. In fact, you know what?
Fictional book is not even out yet.
That can be both your comic recommendation and your novel recommendation.
Yeah, go support.
Just recommend that they donate to the campaign.
Yeah. Just go to zoop.gg. I think that's another thing. People try and do the zoop.com. It's not zoop.com. Yeah. It's zoop.gg.
.gg.
/C.
No, I had to go and look that up specifically just so I could find the website.
Yeah, I think that throws a lot of people off. But yeah. Zoop.gg /C/Chad Hardin 4. Get us across.
Another thing that works is if you go on Google and just type in Zoop fundraising.
There you go. Is it fundraising or campaign?
Either one works.
They have a campaign going on right now where you can own a part of Zoop. Have you checked that out at all?
I did see that. It always advertises that every time I go onto the website.
Yeah, that's sort of weird, but like sort of cool.
Cool and weird, yeah. Me personally, I'd rather not own anything just because, like, you know, I don't want to have to be responsible for an entire website.
Yeah, there you go, right.
But either way, and you know what? That's going to be my recommendation as well. I'm going to double down on that. It's like, make sure that you help donate to Art of Chad Harden Volume 4, because not only are you getting great art and some awesome extra goodies, especially with the Death Watch stuff, really awesome extra Death Watch goodies.
Yes. Yes. If you want a preview to Death Watch 2.
Yeah,
there. I do have pages done.
Yeah,
I haven't shown them yet. I don't feel like they're ready. But
well, and not only that, I was just gonna let everyone know. So there's more of an incentive to do this. Is that should the campaign be successful? You know, this is helping to pay for Death Watch number 2.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Basically, it'll buy us a month.
Yes. It'll
buy us a month's worth of, you know, freelancing. And you know, there's so many people that are like, you have to manifest your dreams in order for your dreams to come true. I do not believe that shit at all. Keep your cards close to your chest. Work really hard.
Well, the fact of the matter is,
happen.
Though that motivational speaker BS, as I call it, now it sounds great, doesn't it? Just sounds awesome. It's just like, oh, manifest destiny and blah 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 blah. You know, positive attitude and all that. And it's just like, you know, yeah, that really sounds great and it sounds awesome on paper. But you know what? Honestly, I found out through like School of Hard Knocks that basically it's like if you want something to happen, you go out and do it. Yeah. That's what's got to happen.
But I have a plan for Death Watch, and the plan is
yes.
No matter what, get a graphic novel's worth of material.
Yes,
because
for sure.
If you want to get published by any big publisher, you have to.
Yeah,
they want to basically read.
And I want that too. Because personally, I'd like to get to the point where. I'd like to get to the point where, especially with you and I, that like basically that we've got our regular thing going with Death Watch, but that Death Watch at least becomes popular enough that that we're getting offered other jobs I love doing creator owned and I'm always going to be doing creator owned, but you know, hey, I wouldn't mind working for some of the bigger companies as well. You know, that actually would be kind of nice because that would be a steady paycheck for me.
See, and I'm the exact opposite. I want Death Watch to work so I don't ever have to work for anybody else.
Well, no. Don't get me wrong. As I said, I always want to have a hand in creator owned because the fact is, no, I'm with you. I love doing Death Watch. But what I'm saying is, let me put it this way. If I got a call from like DC or Marvel and they said, hey, you know, we want you to do, and like I said, dare I dream, you know, not that this would ever happen, but dare I dream, you know, they say, we want you to do Thor or Superman, you know, I'm not going to say no.
Right. And you shouldn't, because especially writers, writers should be able to do, you know, writers should be able to.
And this is that's true. Cause you also made that point, and it's very much the truth. I could probably kick out, if I wanted to. Now, like I said, I know writers who can do more than this, but with me, if I really want to and I double down, I could probably kick out at least 8 stories a month.
Yeah, I think that's probably a healthy number.
Yeah.
I think that's a healthy number. But unfortunately for artists, it's one book a month. But the plan is, is that we get enough for a graphic novel, we have enough for like a very solid, complete chapter, and then that's when we hit everything. We hit it for the publishers, we hit it for the web, webtoons, web
comics. Well, that's true, and what I would definitely love, because like I said, I mean, no, I'm definitely glad that we're still able to get it out, but what I'd definitely love is if we could get a full-time publisher maybe bringing that out at least on a regular basis. I don't, you know, I mean, even if it's not monthly, even if it was just bi-monthly, you know, just enough on a regular basis that that we always had consistent material.
Well, one of the things I think that made Temerity so successful is the fact that we had close to, I think, I want to say like 2 million subscribers on iTunes when we launched.
Yeah, exactly. So all we have to do is just build up that fan base. And exactly. You know, to be honest, every time we do something, I see that we get more and more. It's slowly building, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, we got to play the long game.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully things will pay out. And we have a lot of good things planned. And so
exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, eventually I want to get it to the point where Death Watch is basically my full-time job. I want to have a Patreon that, you know, for our diehard fans.
Of course. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, I would love to have that whole thing, the whole enchilada. Yeah.
And the thing is there's a lot of people that are like, why aren't you doing that now? And it's like, well, unfortunately, I don't have like $80,000 in my pocket. I mean, I have some money. I just bought a new refrigerator, but you know.
Yeah, well, basically, it has to be consistent. The fact of the matter is that we'd have to have enough people supporting this that it could just be a full time job.
Right. Exactly.
We're growing them. I mean, it's getting better and better each time, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. We still have a little ways to go. So
we're going to slog it out for
a little bit longer, but.
Yeah, but on that note, because my dogs are you know, staring me down.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to get out of here pretty soon.
Okay,
so
let's
wrap it up.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up. But like I said, we've already given our recommendation. Our recommendation is going to be your book. Support that on Zoop.
Please.
What's that?
Please.
Yes, pretty please. And either way, I got to get going. So you have a good one. I'll see you later, Chad. Right. And to everyone listening, you all have a good night, and we'll see you again next time.
All right. Peace out, everybody.